When one's consciousness is completely purified of the contamination of material existence, gross and subtle, without being agitated as in the working and dreaming states, and when the mind is not dissolved in the susrupti, deep sleep, one comes to the platform of trance. Then one's material vision and the memories of the mind, which manifest names and forms, are vanquished. Only in such a trance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed. Thus let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seen in that uncontaminated, transcendental state. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two stages of God realization. One is called Sugeyam, or very easily understood, generally by mental speculation. And the other is called Durgyeyam, understood only with difficulty. Paramatma realization and Brahman realization are considered Sugeyam, but realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Durgyeyam. As described here, one attains the ultimate realization of the Personality of Godhead when one gives up the activities of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. Or, in other words, when mental speculation stops. This transcendental realization is above susrupti, deep sleep. In our gross, conditional stage of we perceive things through material experience and remembrance, and in the subtle stage we perceive the world in dreams. The process of vision also involves remembrance and also exists in a subtle form. Above gross experience and dreams is susrupti, deep sleep, and when one comes to the completely spiritual platform, transcending deep sleep, he attains trance, Vishuddha Sattva, or Vasudev Sattva, in which the Personality of Godhead is revealed. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grayam indrayai. As long as one is situated in duality, on the sensual platform, gross or subtle, realization of the original Personality of Godhead is impossible. Sevan mukehi jivado swayam eva spuratyada. When one engages his senses in the service of the Lord, specifically when one engages the tongue in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting only Krishna prasad with a spirit of service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed. This is indicated in this verse by the word suci sadmane. Suci means purified. By the spirit of rendering service with one's senses, one's entire existence becomes suci sadma, the platform of uncontaminated purity. Daksha therefore offers his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is revealed on the platform of suci sadma. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following prayer by Lord Brahma from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.6. Tatapi bhunam mahima gunasya tevi budam arhati amalantar atmabi. One whose heart has become completely purified, my Lord, can understand the transcendental qualities of your lordship and can understand the greatness of your activities. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya
Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Bitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
When one's consciousness is completely purified of the combination of material existence, gross and subtle, without being agitated as in the working and dreaming states, and when the mind is not disturbed as in susrupti, deep sleep, one comes to the platform of trance, then one's material vision and the memories of the mind which manifest forms and names are vanquished. Only in such a state is the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed. Thus let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seen in that uncontaminated, transcendental state. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, entitled the Hamsaguya Prayers, Text 26. This prayer, wherein the person reciting is begging the Lord for a pure heart without material motivations, a heart that is uncontaminated by the lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion that captures the mind and the senses. Who is offering this prayer? And its particular context is quite revealing. In the fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Daksha coming into assembly of the greatest leaders of the universe, rishis, sages, brahmins, demigods. He's so learned. He's so of a high birth and beautiful, effulgent. Everyone in the room stands up to honor him, except Lord Shiva, who was engrossed in samadhi, meditating on Krishna, and was aloof to the situation around him. The nature of the mind. What would you feel like if the controllers of the universe were all standing up with folded palms to receive you and offer you honor? And not just some Brahmins from the UK, but the Brahmins who are glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Puranas and the Vedas, if they were assembled to stand up to receive you. Would you be happy? The nature of the mind is that it is always looking for some reason to be in anxiety. Do ever you have this experience? We could have so many blessings. So many things just could be going our way. But the mind's nature is it's searching for some excuse to be miserable, to be in anxiety, to complain, to criticize. That's the work of Maya. Here is a very graphic example. Daksha's young, he's healthy, he's a high position. There was no problem in his life. But his son-in-law, who is Lord Shiva, didn't stand up. So instead of seeing all the people who were so good to him, he saw one person only. Now Lord Shiva is completely pure. But the nature of the mind is like a fly. Even if there is a whole garden of fragrant flowers, they don't affect the fly as much as one piece of garbage, one scrap of stool. So he was absolutely in anxiety, frustrated, insulted, because one out of all those people did not stand up for him. And he had a good excuse not to stand up for him. One is he's Mahadev, he's the greatest of the demigods. He's Vishnu himself in a very unique form, Shiva Tattva. He's in samadhi with his eyes closed. He didn't even see Daksha. But the mind, just when it goes in motion, it just plagues one with so many rational, logical, ridiculous lines of thought to justify why we should criticize, why we should find fault, and why we should be dissatisfied in anxiety. Srila Prabhupada made it so simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's that simple, actually. Krishna is not different than his name. The Maha Mantra is the prime benediction for all humanity. We have association of devotees, we have prasad. If we just follow, we're going back to Godhead. Why so many anxieties? Why so many reasons to fight and to quarrel and to criticize? That's Maya. The way she influences the mind. Just simple living, high thinking. Prabhupada said Krishna is simple for those who have simple ways of thinking. But it's very complicated for those who have complicated ways of thinking.
Therefore, Krishna says
in Bhagavad Gita, Bandhuratmat Manastasya, that one who controls the mind is the best friend. But one who fails to do so, the mind is the worst enemy. Srimad Bhagavatam expands on that and tells that the mind that is uncontrolled is the only enemy. Even apparent enemies who are trying to attack us, destroy us, if we have control of the mind, those people are our friends. They're actually helping us to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, a devotee has no enemies. He sees, somehow or other, Krishna is calling me back through all different situations and all different circumstances. Krishna is giving me his shelter in all of these scenes. Prahlad did not see the person trying to assassinate him as an enemy. He loved him. When Jesus was crucified, he didn't see them as enemies. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Haridas Thakur, when he was being beaten in 22 market paces by cruel executioners who hatefully were trying to torture and kill him, he was praying to the Lord. Purify them. Forgive them. Let them go to Vaikuntha. He didn't see them as enemies. In fact, later on, when Haridas Thakur was asked, why did you have to go through that beating, that humiliation? He said, well, earlier that day, I heard someone blaspheming the holy name, and therefore the Lord is so kind that he gave me a minimal token purification for the offense I committed. Hare Krishna. This is not just some poetry. This is how he was thinking. This is how a real live person, a Vaishnava, thinks. Where does all this friends and enemies and all of these other things come from? The mind that is frustrated by anxiety and fear, all based on the false ego, and all the cravings for pleasure, gross and subtle. So Daksha was very, very exalted, very learned, very everything. But his mind became dismantled of all its good qualities simply by Lord Shiva not saying anything, not doing anything, just sitting with his eyes closed. Hare Krishna. And you all know the story, what that led into. Daksha started blaspheming Shiva in front of everybody. And that blasphemy is forever in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever's written in internet, it's not going to last. Nobody's going to care about anything on the internet in a few years. Yes? But what's in the pages of Bhagavatam is forever. Hare Krishna. So this was a heavy blasphemy. And ultimately that influenced others to blaspheme each other. One man's hatred created the influence of so many other people to start hating each other, criticizing each other, finding fault with each other, cursing, counter-cursing, and then counter-cursing. That's what it was like. It was horrible. And then eventually Daksha was so hard-hearted by his uncontrolled mind that he showed cruelty to his own daughter. And she could not tolerate it, gave up her life. Lord Shiva sent his people and Birabhadra, this very amazing personality. And ultimately, Daksha got his head cut off and thrown in a fire.
Hare Krishna.
So much for his greatness. Later on, Lord Brahma comes, and Shiva, he's a forgiving person. He actually was not against Daksha. He just understood to what extent Daksha needed to be learning a lesson. So Lord Shiva, he didn't have a head, it was burned in the fire. So to bring him back alive, you have to give somebody a head. So originally a goat was supposed to be in that yajna instead of Daksha. So he put the goat head on Daksha. This is high medical technology. We're very proud of our liver transplant and kidney transplant and even heart transplant, but have you ever heard of a head transplant? That includes the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the tongue, the brain, everything in one. And there was no anesthesia. There was no operating theater. It was just Lord Shiva just picked up the goat's head. There wasn't even any period of, laying in a hospital bed for Daksha trying to reorient himself. He was the full-fledged Daksha with a goat's head. But it's the medicine that was perfect just for him. Because his beautiful face before was the cause of too much false pride. But now with a goat's head, wherever he went, little children, Daksha has a goat head. It's very humiliating. But he became sober. And he begged forgiveness from Lord Shiva. But after some time, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains, he had to give up that life. It was just too much. Trying to be a demigod and doing his service and living in such a abnormal condition. So in the Chakshusha Manvantara, the same Daksha took rebirth. And he was given the same post. And he remembers the past. The Lord is so forgiving. He created such an offense that created such a scandalous situation that involved the universe. That Daksha Yajna, when they were cursing each other, that wasn't just like a husband and wife fighting, in their bedroom. It's not just like, some sannyasis arguing over, territorial rights to preach. It's not like temple presidents arguing over territorial rights. It's not like arguments at GBC meetings. It's much bigger than arguments in the United Nations, or even between the Cold War between America and Russia. This is small time, involving just one little planet, a speck in the universal creation. Here are the rulers of the universe and the greatest Brahmins from the higher planets. They're cursing each other. They're seriously trying to damage each other. This was major. And that whole scandal, which created death and bloodshed for many, it was all caused by Daksha's false ego. But still, because he was a devotee, and ultimately he begged forgiveness, after being exceptionally humiliated, he was able to accept another post with another beautiful, handsome body, but with good lessons learned. And he's told to generate, be the father of humans and demigods and all other different species. Very powerful position. And he goes to a mountain in the wilderness to perform tapasya. And here, the Lord is revealing himself to Daksha, and he's offering prayers to the Lord. My Lord, you have given me this service to be a Prajapati. Let me do it with a pure, uncontaminated mind. It's only with a pure, uncontaminated mind will I be able to please you through my service. This was his intention. So yes, Daksha learned a good lesson. But unfortunately, he had to learn it through serious mistakes. But he learned it. At least for the time being. Krishna uses certain persons as examples to teach us what not to do. We should never take these persons to be ordinary. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming again and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they wouldn't be seeing God like Indra. Indra makes mistakes, but then God comes personally right before him to correct him. Daksha, same. Durvasa Muni, same. These are very, very important lessons that the Lord teaches us through very, very important people. Even Lord Brahma, he makes mistakes to teach us lessons by the arrangement of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here how, in order to purify our consciousness, Atasri Krishna Namani Nabhavetrayam Indriya, we have to go beyond duality. We have to go beyond this mental state of accepting, rejecting, hankering, lamenting. Whatever we have, the nature of the mind is we're hankering for more or lamenting for something else. If we don't have a pure mind, even if we go to Vaikuntha, we'll not be satisfied. We'll be hankering for something else. We'll be lamenting for something else. Therefore, yoga means to control the mind. And here it is explained, Sevan mukhehi jivato svayam eva spuratyata. The way we can purify our heart, our mind, and our senses is through service. And in this particular purport, it's very beautiful what Srila Prabhupada is explaining. It's the essence. By controlling the tongue, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by speaking about Krishna, by not eating nonsense foods in nonsense places, by not speaking prajalpa, unnecessary subjects, especially gossip, criticisms, but by speaking about Krishna, by chanting his names. But Prabhupada, he doesn't just stop there. He says, we have to do it with a service attitude. Let me just read that again. Sevan mukhehi jivado svayam eva spuratyata. When one engages his senses in the service of the Lord, specifically when one engages the tongue in chanting Hare Krishna mantra and tasting only Krishna prasad, with a spirit of service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed. Just chanting is not enough. Just eating prasad is not enough. It must be done in a spirit of service to attract the Lord. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us a program. How strictly he was about our chanting the holy names. It is the Yuga Dharma. According to the Vedas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is no other way in this age of Kali to awaken that innermost essence of our soul, love of God, except through chanting God's names. At other times, there were other ways. Certainly, we can attain various stages of God realization through other means. But in this age of Kali, to attain that essence, the name of the Lord has been given. And the Lord has many names. He's very merciful. But in order for the Lord to reciprocate with us in his name, it is all dependent on our spirit of service. So through Srila Prabhupada's books and through the mission he created, he gave us so many opportunities to serve. To serve the Vaishnavas. To serve the spiritual master. To serve the conditioned souls. A devotee who really understands what Krishna consciousness is, in every situation, is an attitude of servant. Even if we are in a leadership position, we are serving our subordinates. And even if we're accepting subordinates to do some things for us, our spirit should be, by allowing them to do this, I'm serving them. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. If we're eternally servant of Krishna, then we're eternally servant of Krishna in every situation. And we see our service to Krishna in every opportunity to serve everybody. That was Srila Prabhupada's consciousness. He would sometimes say, you have all been sent by my Guru Maharaj. You are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj. Now you serve the Lord by serving his representatives. You serve the spiritual master by serving the representative. Prabhupada saw all of us as the means to serve his Guru by serving us. He saw his Guru in every one of us. And by serving every devotee, even his disciples, he's seeing that as service to his Guru. Always servant. A devotee never feels in his or her own heart that I am master. Gopi Bhartur Patakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. But Maya is so strong and so subtle and so thorough. We know this. We've heard this. If we just have that spirit of servitude and chant the holy names, perfection is very easy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arms and he gave the world a benediction. Just chant the names of Krishna and do not criticize others and I will deliver you. If we can just do those two things. But you can't not criticize others unless you really have a service attitude. If you don't have that service attitude, your mind will force you to criticize others. You can't just remain neutral. Maya loves people to try to be neutral. Because in that state, she'll drag you right down. When you're going in a river and you're being led, I remember years ago, I got caught in quicksand. And in order to get away at quicksand, I had to swim upstream in a river. And the river was just pulling me back, pulling me back, pulling me back to the quicksand where I would die. Hare Krishna. Now, can you remain neutral in a situation like that? Well, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go forward. I'll just relax. There's no, you can relax, but you'll be in the quicksand in a matter of seconds. To swim upstream is a struggle. And the current of this material world is all down. Maya, the current is all toward illusion. It's all toward the repetition of birth and death. And we have to fight against that current. And we have no power to do so. That current is too much. Daiviheshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Material nature, very strong. These three modes, impossible. But we have to take shelter of the Lord. Then the Lord, by His supreme power, delivers us. The process of taking shelter of the Lord is by chanting His holy names in a spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant. If we do that, the Lord lifts us up. But we have to show our sincerity by using our free will to struggle to perform the service that pleases Guru, Vaishnavas, and the Lord. We have to take it seriously. One of the greatest weapons of Maya that she defeats a devotee with. The mind is complacency. We don't really believe that I have to do it now. Because Maya Devi, through our mind, gives us so many excuses. Rational, logical, sometimes even philosophical reasons why to postpone this inner surrender to the spirit of servitude. One more thing. Let me finish my exams, then I'll surrender. But you never finish your exams, because there's always exams. There's your elementary school exams, then there's your high school exams, then there's your college exams, then MA exams, then PhD exams. Then you may get married. Some serious exams come. And so many temptations, other exams. So many successes, failures. Exams, always coming. When you succeed, that's a heavy exam. If you become proud, you failed. If you become corrupt in your success, become proud, I'm empowered now, I'm a great devotee, look at what I have done, very skillful, very knowledgeable, very industrious. If you think you're better than someone else, you just failed your exam. D minus. Maybe an E. Maybe an F. And you're thinking, look at me. Hare Krishna. And if you lose everything and became angry and blame others, you failed your exam. Every moment is an exam. And what is really, what does it mean to pass the exam? To maintain and increase your spirit of service. And in that spirit, take shelter of Krishna with one's whole heart. Sometimes when we're falling off a cliff, how many of you have fallen off a cliff? When you're falling off a cliff, you're taking shelter of Krishna. Hopefully. When there's really some dangerous disaster imminent in your life. But Srila Prabhupada taught, we have to have that type of intensity even when things are going really well. Complacency is one of our greatest enemies. We know what we have to do. But the mind just finds so many reasons why to postpone it. And it doesn't get any easier. The more you give in to Maya's dictations, the more you're habituated to do so, and the more difficult it becomes in the future. Therefore, the scriptures and the world around us teach us, padam padam yadvi padam natesha, there is danger at every step. We shouldn't be so consumed by all these petty, temporary situations around us. We may have to deal with them, but we should deal with them in a relatively detached way. Krishna teaches Arjuna, you fight because it's your duty, but don't be attached to the results. Be attached to your service attitude to me by remembering me. Whatever we do, in one sense, nothing is very significant in this material world. Forgetting Krishna is significant, and remembering Krishna is significant, and doing Krishna's will is significant, and going against Krishna's will is significant, and all the details of the whole cosmic manifestation are not very important details. Because Krishna sees our heart, he sees our purpose. That's what's important. But still, we just cruise along with life. Can I tell a story?
No.
I was discussing this with His Holiness Indrajumana Swami Maharaj last night. Hare Krishna. Recently, I was sitting on a rock in the river Ganges, in the Himalayan foothills near Rishikesh. It was a very beautiful day. Himalayan breeze cooling and refreshing my body. It's a very clear sky. The water of the Ganga. A work of art at every moment. Did you ever see a fast rushing river with crystal clear aqua water? Its waves, its ripples, its swirls. It's intoxicating to look at. If we really focus on it, it's unbelievable. The types of shapes, the tapes of designs. No human artist could capture that moment as it is. But yet this magnificent artwork is being revealed everywhere in the whole river, at all times. But an amazing lesson is as soon as it's created, that art, it disappears immediately. It's created, disappears, created. It's an ever-running process of creation, of art. That's what the whole material existence is. Nothing lasts. Everything's changing. If only we could see the beauty of God's hand in everything. So while I was trying to focus on such noble thoughts, I looked up in the sky, high above, cruising through the airways, was a large hawk. His wings were spread. His orange, brown, colored feathers were shining in the sun. He began hovering lower and lower and lower and lower until he was just a few meters from over my head. And all these little birds, they were all chirping and winging around in very artistic but very almost passionate ways of flying. But the hawk was like the emperor of the sky. Such confidence. His glistening green eyes were gazing down and surveying the river. I was watching. Suddenly, the hawk plunged right into the river. And then I saw a little skirmish for just a few seconds. Then the hawk emerges from the river. In its claws or talons, there is a fish about a foot long. That fish was, I was watching so carefully that fish. He was totally, I don't know if it was a he or she. Now, fishes, they know exactly, immediately, whether it's a he or she. But it takes one to know one. But that fish was completely confused. It was flapping, 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 struggling. And the hawk just its claws just pierced that fish's body, and that fish was, there was no way it could escape. And flew higher, higher, higher into the horizon with the fish flapping. I was thinking, how much are we like that fish? What? I was trying to do a psychological evaluation of the fish, which is a psychological evaluation of myself. Srila Prabhupada says that for a soul to be happy outside of its relationship with Krishna is like a fish trying to be happy outside of the water. Now, when the fish is in the water, he was born in a school of other fish, because I was watching in Rishikesh. Those types of fish, they're rarely alone. They're usually very social. Usually a couple dozen or even 100, they all swim together wherever they go. So this fish was born and raised in that river. It knew absolutely no other existence except that river. And it had its mother and its father and maybe its children and its friends and its relatives all around. And it was just going about its routine activities like every and any other day. Swimming upstream, swimming downstream. They know where to go, where to get food. Just a regular old routine day for the fish in the current of the river of life. And I am sure that that fish was not expecting anything different than any other day of its life. It was swimming around in the river of life. But suddenly, the hawk of fate ripped it right out of its comfort zone, right out of the very reality that it knew at the least expected moment. And the fish was helpless, disoriented, and about to die. So yes, we have a tendency. Those who are not devoted to the Lord, they just go on with their routine activities in this world, trying to make some money, trying to enjoy with their friends, trying to enjoy themselves, trying to solve the problems of this life, trying to relax, whatever we do. It's the routine lifestyle. But we don't know. The hawk of fate could be a tsunami. That tsunami that hit South India, Indonesia, hundreds and thousands of people killed within minutes. They were all just going about their business. No one expected it. Not a single person. Some years ago, I was laying in my room. It was early morning. It was in Bombay. And all of a sudden, everything was shaking. Everything was shaking. Things were falling from the shelves, books. And he had an orphanage in the temple, and the children were all screaming out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then everything was all right. But just a couple hundred kilometers away, 20,000 people died in an earthquake. Did a single one of them, when they went to sleep that night, think, I'll never wake up again? No. Mothers had their rice and dal soaked to grind to make idlis in the morning. Fathers had their business plans. Children had their play plans or their school plans. The hawk of fate. Just a couple days ago, a cyclone in Burma. How many people killed? I think 22,000 they found so far. Just a couple days ago, 22,000 people were killed near Burma, Southeast Asia. No one expects it. And we're devotees. We're taught in every aspect of our whole teachings to expect those things. Not to be pessimistic, to be realistic. If we're not expecting those things, we won't really sincerely take shelter of our chanting, of our service, or of giving up our bad habits. We should know that that hawk of fate has its glistening green eyes focused on every single one of us as we're swimming around in the river of life. And at any moment, everything changes. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be economic disaster. Could be revelation that I have a terminal disease. Could be natural disaster. Could be enemies who want to destroy us. Recently I was in Russia. Can I tell you a secret? I'm sure this will never get out of this room. Because I know devotees are very confidential. One of the leaders of the Russian Yatra was telling me that just recently when he was in India, he met a man who was one of the biggest, most powerful people, a scientist who make weapons for the United States of America. And he said, the arsenal of nuclear bombs in the United States alone, he said, if the United States were to use 1% of the bombs they have, they could wipe out 99% of the population of the world.
Hare Krishna.
Just, you know, couple buttons pushed. There's bombs, Pakistan, India, Russia, China. If something happens, you know, one great person said, man never made a weapon that he won't use. And yet we're just swimming along. Yes, yes. I know I'm supposed to take shelter of the holy name and give up my anartas, but so many other obligations, so many other considerations. But the hawk is looking at us at every moment. Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he was asked by the Yaksha, what is the most incredible thing in this world? We've all heard it before, but it's so important that we see death everywhere. But yet we all think it's not going to happen to me, at least not yet, at least not for a while. So we have to become very serious about Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is the most serious thing there is. To deliver our soul to Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, he looked up at his young, healthy disciples and said, don't think this will not happen to you. But I don't believe a single person in that room thought that it would. Maybe theoretically. Yes, yes, philosophically I know, but it's a long time. But now, it's happening. It's happening to so many. So let us take this wonderful opportunity very seriously. Let us fight against this complacency. Jesus said, be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Krishna says, Vyavashayatmaka Budhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahushaka Hinantascha Budhayo Vyavashayana. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. They are determined. The minds of those who are irresolute, complacent, is very many branched. If we're not intensely trying to take shelter of Krishna, whatever room our mind has outside of that intense desire is going to be diverted by Maya. That's the way she works. And it doesn't get easier as you go older. We have to do it now. I'd like you to pray for two devotees. Last night, just minutes before we came down to do the program, we received very tragic news. Of course, we know that Krishna is the supreme lover and controller of his devotees. That one 19-year-old devotee girl in Ukraine was in a car with several others. The car crashed, and she died. Wonderful devotee. Yamunangi is her name. Please pray for her soul. Today, just before class, Sriman Pandit Prabhu comes up to me with a message from Malati Prabhu that another devotee girl in America, Gopi Leela, do any of you know her? She just left her body from cancer last night. So within a 12-hour sphere, two wonderful, wonderful devotees who we know so well have been taken from us in this world. Please pray to Radha Gokulananda to shower their blessings and mercy upon them. But also we should see them as fortunate because they left this world, both of them, in very, very amazing Krishna conscious states of consciousness. But we should also see that there's great lessons, that who are we? When will that hawk of fate take us out of the river of life as we know it? It could happen any moment to anyone, anywhere. Prabhupada said, Parikshit Maharaj knew he had 7 days to live. None of us know we have 7 minutes. No, we don't want to be miserably pessimistic about the whole thing. Prabhupada said we should chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He didn't say we should be chant Hare Krishna and be fearful. In fact, Bhajahure Mana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. If we take shelter of Krishna, we go beyond fear. So why is this Swami filling us with fear? We're supposed to be happy and fearless. How can we be fearless when we're just looking up for that hawk all the time? Little fishes, no hawk, not now. I listened to a beautiful tape. You all heard the story, but when you hear it from Prabhupada again and again and again, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Prabhupada told a story how there was the minister of a king. The king was Akbar, I believe. And he asked the minister, when will, do we give up these material desires? When we, as we grow older, we'll give them up? He said, no. They never go away. Unless you very seriously endeavor to transcend them, they never go away on their own. King said, I don't believe that. So a couple days later, he told the king, I want you to come and bring your daughter. I'm going to take you somewhere. So the king went with his daughter. There was an old man on his deathbed who was just on the verge of death. And the king comes into the room with his daughter. And then the minister asked the king, what was the man looking at when you came into the room? King said, he was looking at my daughter. Was he looking at you? He said, he didn't even look at me. He was looking at my daughter. And then the king said, now I believe you. Don't think that material desires are just going to go away. They never go away. Birth after birth after birth, death after death after death. Param drishtvani vartate. They only go away when we experience a higher taste. And we only experience a higher taste to the degree we take shelter of Krishna. Especially by serving his devotees, by hearing his glories, and by chanting his holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
why should we get involved in all these petty, egoistic pursuits in this world? We have our duties. Perform your duties, but be in the right consciousness. Yes, Maya will provide unlimited excuses why to fight, why to be in anxiety, why to put things, the important things off to the next day. We can consume ourselves with these trivialities, birth after birth after birth, unless we realize now is the time. It's urgent. Parikshit Maharaj taught us. Prabhupada taught us. The great souls teach us. Radha Gokulananda have come in this most magnificent, beautiful form just to attract our full hearts, our full attention, our full service to their loving service. Let us reciprocate wholeheartedly. And please do pray for these devotees. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak something, Maharaj? Please? Some realization? I'll fly much happier if I hear your realization.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chaksuri Militam Jinatas Maya Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Krishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadante Svamana. Well, I wasn't expecting to speak, but actually a devotee should always be prepared to discuss these matters and analyze them. I was thinking as Maharaj was speaking that it's not... If that hawk of fate is going to put his green eyes on us and take us from the current of life, but it's when. One of my friends, very close friend of mine, is a doctor, Gopaswami Das. We preached together for many years when I was in France, and he went back to his medical profession at one time. And he became a doctor in mainstream society. And as part of his training, he had to work in an emergency ward for 6 months. We were in close contact at that time, and he called me one day and he said, Maharaj, you know, the most amazing thing is that practically everyone who comes through this emergency ward, they all say the same thing. Doc, I never thought this would happen to me. So as Maharaj was speaking, I was trying to take it very personally, because we always think the other person, this person, that. But this will all happen to us one day, and it's always, even though we study and we hear the Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, the temporary nature of this world, it always comes as a shock when these things happen to someone close to us or a loved one, and eventually to ourselves. So, as the Boy Scouts of America say, we have to be prepared. And the best way to be prepared is to constantly hear about this subject matter. And as Maharaj was saying, not become pessimistic about life, but actually realistic. And I find one way to always be prepared is to share this message with others, particularly when you go out on Sankirtan. I find that Sankirtan is the best training field for realizing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because when you go out on Sankirtan, you're always reminded of these things. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar arvito arjuna mamupetate kontiya punar janma nividyate, that from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But it's interesting to note that although Krishna gives a pessimistic evaluation of material life, as we've been hearing today. The Lord is so kind that He always gives the positive alternative. This is our hope in Krishna consciousness. Punarjanma navidyate. But one who attains to Maya abode, Arjuna, he never takes birth again. Radhana Swami is very expert at analyzing material existence and helping us to give up our attachments to material life. But even within mundane society, there are people who realize these things. For example, Jean-Paul Sartre is a very famous French philosopher. And before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was reading some of his writings. He also expertly analyzed how temporary this world is and how much suffering it is. He could also give this analogy, that analogy. Of course, he wasn't quoting Shastra. He was speaking from his own perspective. But he was partially self-realized, you could say. But he had no positive alternative. So the conclusion of his analysis of material life was that he took his life. He committed suicide. That was, you don't want to become his disciple. Follow his path. But the beauty of our Guru Shastra and Sadhu is though we hear these things and sometimes it's a bit scary. The class always ends on a high note because we have the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. Punarjanma navidyate. That is a bit scary to hear like that, but if we are very serious in our practice of Krishna consciousness, punarjanma navidyate, Krishna says such a devotee never comes back to this river of death, where we're pulled along by the current of our mind and our senses and dragged down, materna krishne patashvatova. Because of their uncontrolled senses, people too addicted to materialistic life gradually fall down into hellish conditions of life. And once they realize their unfortunate condition, neither by their effort or by the effort of others or the combination of the two can they be saved from that situation. It's scary. But if you follow the path of Krishna consciousness, you always have that that wonderful positive alternative. And by going out and preaching Krishna consciousness, it's more than just philosophy. Class is philosophy and it's necessary, but also that practical experience is very important. When you go out and preach, you're reminded of these things. You can't help but see the miserable life of this world, especially here in London. Prabhupada said, as much as they've tried to make it look very nice, Prabhupada's conclusion was, what is London? London is hell. The newspaper reporter asked him, what do you think of London? Oh, Big Ben and the Parliament building and the River Thames and the great history and the kings and the queens. Prabhupada said, London? London's hell. That was the headlines in the newspaper. Swamiji, yes, London is hell. So we hear and we see. But at the same time, by going out and taking this message to others, we see the Gaur Shakti, we see the internal potency of Lord Chaitanya, that through the process of Krishna consciousness, essentially through chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. One can be delivered from this current of material life. So what intelligent person would not take advantage of that opportunity? It's clear. Through Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, the conclusion is very clear. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Like we said yesterday, elegance is truth spoken concisely. Dukalayam ashashvatam. It's a temporary place for me. So here's the solution. What intelligent person would not take the opportunity? But still, although we hear these things, we still remain attached. This is Maya. Although we hear such a wonderful lecture again and again, we walk out and the material desires surface and we contemplate them for a moment. So what to do? Well, our strength is in our numbers. Many hands make small work. If we remain in the association of devotees, this is our strength. And we can help each other out of this current of material existence by congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.